welcome back to another episode of the Hate to Interrupt podcast, Bill O'Reilly's number one War on Christmas podcast in the entire world. It is I, the Grinch from Kronkus.
And I'm the chill Grinch today, and also Nick from Stock Culture.
And I'm Ghoulif. What's it going, everybody?
Do you guys know about the chill Grinch?
You keep sending like videos and mentioning it in videos. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck the chill Grinch is. Anyway, everyone introduce it, everyone first, and then talk to us about the chill Grinch.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, Nick, you go.
I'm Sean Hannity.
Oh, nice. We have the perfect war on Christmas. We have the battle lines are drawn for the war on Christmas right now.
Yeah, it's a war on Christmas. They're killing Christmas. They spit Jesus in his face and said, "No, fuck you. No more Christmas. It's happy holidays now."
Does the Tim household have Fox News playing? Is that where this is coming from?
Mine does.
Oh, Fox News is for basic white ass bitches. All right, I'm all up on Breitbart. Okay, I'm up all on Newsmax. I'm next level shit right there.
You gotta get on one. What is it? One American News Network. That's where the true freaks go.
Yeah, whatever that is.
God damn it! All right.
Anyway, talk to us about Chill Grinch.
Oh, I really wanted hot horror for Christmas, so I think that's what we're gonna do today.
Yeah, this is our holiday spooktacular. So, Culture Nick, what is Chill Grinch?
Oh well, the Chill Grinch is it's kind of spooky. If in a certain way, yeah. It's basically I think it's the one guy started it, and it's like it's basically just different images of a blue Grinch with like Zoomer type haircuts, and he hangs out with bras and hus and gets knee surgeries. Do you like that? I'm just doing so
what
much brain.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm doing brain rot. I'm sorry, but
this is some like shitty like NFT scam that like people that you're trying to sell on us, right?
Oh no, you don't have to buy it. You can just you watch it.
You just
you
appreciate.
Lose your mind. You lose all.
You just appreciate Blue Chill Grinch.
Yeah, you just lose all your cognitive skills and motor skills if you watch it for more than 5 hours. But
so this episode we picked two movies. Two horror Christmas themed movies. What do we want to start with?
Let's do Krampus.
All right, let's start with Krampus from 2015.
Yeah, let's do Culture Krampus.
Nick,
yeah.
You've been talking about this, so do you want to kind of introduce it to audiences who do not know what this movie is?
Yeah, so Krampus is he's sort of like the bizarro Santa Claus, you know. Krampus yeah. is a movie with Adam Scott and Toni Collette and David Koechner, I think his name is, like the guy from
David
Anchorman.
Koechner.
No.
Yeah, Todd
it's Koechner.
So I yeah. actually, so I haven't, hold
it's
on. Since
I think you mean David
so,
Koechner.
Hold on. So I'm just going to say this now. Since I have a platform to deface somebody's name, I'm going to go ahead and do it now. I bought tickets to watch this guy do stand-up like 5 years ago, and it was the day before I was going to go see that fucking guy, and he fucking canceled. I had like everything planned out. I was like taking a girl on a date. I was like, I'm going to go see David, whatever the fuck. And
David
his ass
Koechner.
Canceled the
David
day Koechner. Goddamn before, bro. The day goddamn. Why, what is wrong with that guy, bro? Fuck.
Anyways, so it ruined your day.
But for anyone listening, David Koechner, he's like a staple in a lot of the Judd Apatow movies from the 2000s.
He's the guy in The
Anchorman.
Office that's always fucking
Todd Packer.
Horny.
Yeah, he's
yeah, and
Todd
his
Packer
his name
and
is,
he's a...
It's not Koechner, but
that's Nick, how it's spelled.
Nick is the king of mispronouncing.
That's how he spells it, bro. Why does he have a name that's spelled so dumb?
Well,
does
anyway.
He strictly eat kosher?
Well, yeah. I mean, Krampus is it's a Christmas horror movie featuring the bizarro Santa Claus who comes and he punishes people who stop believing in the power of Christmas, which is kind of a cool concept, I guess. I mean, what'd you guys think of Krampus?
Yeah, I think it's fun concept is kind of where it ends for me, because everything else about this movie just kind of disappointed or annoyed me, because first 30 minutes, I was like, my God, these are the most annoying fucking characters I've ever had to sit through. And all the characters that I'm supposed to like, I don't like. And I just wanted to
Same.
See them all slaughtered. And it didn't even give me that.
Yeah, I pretty much worse. Like, I think like the first like 10 minutes I immediately 2x speed like the next like 15 to 20 minutes of the movie, because I was already just fed up with this. I was like, I can't stand this shit. I know I use this term a lot, but I was giga cringing so hard. I was unbelievably cringing hard on how annoyingly shitty these characters were, and I was just, fuck, if this is gonna be the rest of the movie, I'm just gonna 2x speed this a little bit. And luckily the movie actually changed gears and actually delivered on what I actually wanted from the movie, kind of, until it just stopped being that as well.
As soon as you made it quicker, it was like, all right, now
this is sick.
The motors are really going now.
I 2x speed all the shitty dinner dialogue conversations because I was not having it. I was like, fuck this. I'm already done with this. And it was only when Kronkis showed up with his goons, with his gooners, that I was just, okay, finally, you know, the thing that I showed up for, you know, the thing that I actually watched the movie for. But it's really fucking frustrating for a movie like this, because it's PG-13, so I'm already just having this sudden realization where I'm just like, oh yeah, this is a horror movie for babies. It's baby's first horror movie where nothing of actual consequence happens, and because, you know, the babies need to get, you know, seethed into watching this.
A lot of good horror movies are PG-13, first of all.
Yeah, but a lot of great PG and PG-13 horror movies actually commit to leaving actual lasting consequences. Here, Kronkis just pranks them for like an hour and a half, and then just like, oh, okay.
They're trapped in a snow globe forever, bro.
You said you were sorry? Cool, great. I'll just immediately change it.
What can be worse than being trapped in the pocket universe of Dark Santa Claus in a snowball and fucking up like a bookshelf filled with other stolen families?
So I'll just say,
worst nightmare.
I didn't hate it as much as they did. I mean, I won't say it's amazing, but like, it was fun. It was kind of like if like National Lampoon's fucking Christmas Vacation, like
they encountered an eldritch being.
Yeah. Which I think is fun. I do think it did feel a little bit neutered. I think it like if it was R-rated, it probably would have been a little bit more sick. But like, it was enjoyable. It was like a nice little fun horror Christmas movie.
Yeah, and the fact that
that's not even fair to say, because like I don't buy this excuse of, oh, if it was rated R, like it could still be, it could have been way more effective. Like fucking Jaws is PG for babies, and still it delivered on its scares and its terror way more effectively than anything that fucking happened in this film.
You have because to keep this in mind, entire though, that time, the PG rating just, back then was way different than it is now.
Yeah, they I used to let nipples in PG-13. Tim.
I'm pretty sure the Outlaw Josie Wales is a G-rated movie, and it has a fucking full-on titties in it.
That's hot. But the point I'm trying to say is that this film has just no balls whatsoever, because every single, okay, I'll give it this. They had the balls to kill off kids. That's great. Awesome. Very rarely does that happen in a horror movie. So I was like, okay, at least you're making that effort. But I swear to fucking God, rather than actually delivering something actually scary or any meaningful horror set piece, they're like, nope. We're gonna cut away now. It's we're gonna transition because isn't it scary that the gooners they ganged up and did their thing, but we're not gonna show you it because it's for babies. This is baby's first horror movie, same way Pokemon
but
is
I think
baby's
that is,
first RPG.
But I do think
like,
that is
Jesus Christ.
But I think that is due to the R rating though. Like it genuinely does feel like they just couldn't show certain things, you know.
I think this, could you imagine how much cooler the ending would have been? Because the whole point of the ending is like, okay, you all thought they were killed off screen, but instead they're trapped in like an eternal hell in a snow globe, which is kind of scary on its own right. But it would have been so much better if like you had these kids and these annoying ass characters getting completely mauled and like ripped into pieces. And then when he does get the like, no, wait, I changed my mind. And then he wakes up in the perfect world. Oh my gosh, my family's all back. You still would have had that payoff.
I expected
that classic slasher villain, you know.
I expected whenever he pulled him into that pit at the end, I was like, I hope he's like just in like some form of hell,
just like Hellraiser is down there,
chest flayed open.
I honestly would have,
and like all of this is
yeah, because like
all of this is just like a memory being planted into his head while he's just getting fucking tortured.
It's not the movie's fault that you guys want to see children murdered on screen, so I don't know why you're blaming Adam Scott and company for that. But
I think it was fun.
You guys have to at least give it to the movie that the creature design was fucking awesome. Oh, man.
That's my favorite part. Is the creature design and the practical effects were fucking awesome. The final half of this movie where you see all the elves, all of his like fucked up little, like this specifically the jester in the attic was my favorite character design. That jester with the
I really
big mouth of
the,
teeth.
I really liked the Jack topper. In the Box one, the snake Jack in the Box thing.
Yeah, that's whatever. What I was talking about. That was really cool. Thing.
Yeah, like so cool. I do appreciate that it's primarily practical effects in terms of the actual creature designs. I do admire that. It's very obvious the film is trying to go for like a Joe Dante Gremlin small soldiers type shit with this film.
I wish it would have gone less intentionally funny. Like I think like a lot of the stuff
funny.
I'm the opposite. I wish it went full on funny. Like I wish it went full on just bonkers comedy, because I think that's what's so frustrating about this experience is that it just could not decide what it wanted to be. It couldn't decide. It tried to half-ass both the man, this is a serious family drama about being with family and understanding the true meaning of Christmas. Jesus.
It was never trying to be a serious family drama at any point.
The theme of the movie. The whole theme of the movie was
It didn't really feel like that. It definitely got sillier anymore. As it went, but it always felt kind of like goofy, even from the just due to the actor choices in general. It was like obviously meant to be a comedy, but
yeah, I mean, the casting choice of casting David Koechner in to begin with, it kind of establishes that this movie isn't taking itself that seriously. Like, yeah, it's trying to tackle some kind of serious overtone of believing in family ties and Christmas or whatever.
Because you got to tie in that Christmas theme.
Yeah, it's not taking itself that seriously, though. I wouldn't say
I just wish it fully committed, though, because there are still, like, yeah, I understand that the movie is self-aware in a sense that they have fucking Looney Tunes sound effects in the film. I completely understand that. I just wish they fully committed. Like, they should have fully committed either to being, like, a Joe Dante-type B-movie camp fest, because there's still so many moments of, like, dumb fucking cliche serious moments where Adam Scott's like, go, I'll sacrifice myself so that you, my family, can live forever or whatever. And I'm like, fuck off, dude.
I was really excited when they just killed the sister in the beginning and they backpedaled it. I was like, oh shit, they just killed that shit? Or that chick?
Yeah, there was like three different scenes where they were like, no, I'll stay back and hold them off. And then they died. And then the next person would be like, no, kids, I'll stay back and hold them off. And that happened three times in a row in the final 15 minutes.
The grandma. She's trying to save us.
And the dad, and then
she's trying to save us, Dad.
And she did. So
she did.
Don't say that she didn't. She helped. She did her part.
No, she didn't. They got trapped in the snow globe.
Yeah,
she failed.
She stayed behind to chill with Kronkis. She was like, yo, remember me, Kronkis? I was the little girl in my stupid backstory.
But well, hold on. Let's Kronkis. Can we give ratings just so I can actually see where we all stand here?
I'm a 4 out of 10 on this one.
8 out of 10.
Damn.
I'm totally
didn't even like this movie. I was just
like, talking with us the entire time.
Yeah.
I'm at a 5 with it. I give it a 5.
I thought it was fun. I mean, I thought it was fun. I thought
it's
it was
a fun turn on during Christmas at a party and like play in the background.
It was very stupid. I really just like it just for the creature designs alone.
I thought
Krampus as a character was very cool.
I watched it on like one of those.
That's
illegal,
kind of about it though.
I watched it on one of those illegal sites, and when I searched Krampus, it showed like 8 movies, and they all looked fucking terrible. Like I literally want to, like, after this podcast, I might go sit down and watch like 2 of the low ass budget terrible looking Krampus movies.
Yeah.
Are they made from other countries or?
A lot of them look like they're US made.
Yeah, I did like Kronkis' design. I kind of liked Kronkis as this like little goober. He's like this prankster who's just like, teehee, I'm wiping your tear to think that I'm being sincere, actually I'm going to throw you into the pits of hell. That was a real hashtag Kronkis moment.
I enjoyed how that happened, and then all of his little goons are like, hey, you got fucking pranked.
Tim, are you saying that Kronkis is basically the Jonkler?
He's the Jonkler of Christmas. He's like Kronk from Emperor's New Groove, but as Krampus. So I'm calling him Kronk because he,
Do you think the Joker could beat Krampus in a fight?
Depends. Which Joker are we talking about?
Just the best Joker.
Who's
whatever
the best Joker?
I mean, okay,
the Cesar Romero Joker from
Who's the most powerful Joker?
Mark Hamill's Batman the Animated Series Joker.
Didn't they just do like a faceless Joker run on Batman? I read about that.
That was he 10 years ago. That was in the 52.
Just cutting people's faces off.
I have
off.
That comic sitting on my shelf right now.
Wouldn't it technically be the Batman who laughs? Because he's
That's not Joker. That is Batman.
But he's Joker-fied somehow, isn't he?
He is, but he's not the Joker.
He's a Jonkler Batman.
He's Bruce Wayne that turns into the Joker.
So
he's still a Jonkler.
He's the Joker.
Not really. He's still called Batman, though.
What the fuck do you mean, not really, if that's a Jonkler?
Yeah.
He's Bruce. The Batman who laughs. So he is Batman who likes to laugh, but he is not Joker.
He's Bruce Jonkler Wayne.
Yeah.
So could he beat Krampus?
Jonkler is just
probably
a concept. Jonkler is whatever you want it to be.
He still has a lot of money. I think money outclasses. No, Krampus has magic, though. He has Christmas
Krampus
magic.
Krampus has magic, yeah. Wait, Batman's pretty weak to magic.
Is it true that the Batman who laughs somehow absorbed Dr. Manhattan's power energy and now can do anything, basically? He's like
no
a god.
I have no clue. I've not been
what are you talking about?
That's
what the hell are you talking about?
Is that real?
This happened.
Dr. Manhattan's not part of like the DC universe.
Yes, he is. Gulliv, isn't he?
Dr. Manhattan? He is now. Yeah, they own him.
And he's in the Doomsday Clock. There was a crossover event. Now all the Watchmen characters are in DC.
I don't want to talk about Doomsday Clock. I hate that series so much.
All right, well then you know, Tim.
Well, okay, they're only in the DC universe because DC and Geoff Johns are fucking assholes and made it that way. That's the only reason why they're in it. They have no reason to be in the DC universe just because.
I've only read the first issue of the Doomsday Clock. I haven't read the whole thing.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's I don't know. I just want them to leave Watchmen alone, please.
This actually raises a more even more important question. We'll get back to Christmas in like 2 seconds. But who would win in a fight, Ozymandias or Batman?
I saw you post this. I haven't.
It's a good question.
Probably Ozymandias, honestly.
I was saying Ozymandias. Dude, he can fucking catch a bullet, bro.
Well, you're going to have Batman like glazers that are like, well, actually, if Batman had enough prep time, he could beat God.
Okay, yeah. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer nitpicker, but I personally don't see the point in questions like these, because whether or not Ozymandias and or Batman can kick the other person's ass is like entirely dependent on the writer's decision. It's just dependent on who the writer likes more than the other.
But we're the reader.
We're just writing theoretically.
No, but yeah. I'm just saying, like, hypothetically.
Bro clearly has never read any respect threads on Reddit.
No, I understand clearly that, hasn't but, like, read hypothetically, respect hypothetically speaking, if, like, some dipshit comic book writer was like, yeah, I want to make Ozymandias v Batman Dawn of Justice or some shit, you know, like, who wins that?
But let's
just
say
depending
but let's
on
say
who the writer likes more
hold on.
Than the other
let's say yeah. let's say God wrote it, like the Bible, right? God wrote the Bible, right?
God so, didn't write the so, Bible.
Yeah, Alan Moore wrote it, which is
no,
just as
God,
good
no the Bible was written through prophets who were speaking the word of God, so it was really God who wrote it.
Okay, yeah.
So let's say those same prophets, right, those same prophets who wrote the Bible wrote this story, it would be pretty matter of fact, right? It'd be pretty true.
I bet you if the guy who wrote the book of Matthews and the guy who wrote the book of Exodus would have different fucking opinions about who would win in a fight between Ozymandias and Batman. That is just as irrelevant as the other thing that I just mentioned.
You fucking heathen.
And God said, if Batman has enough prep time, he can beat anyone.
I know I ruin everyone's fun, but I just can't. I can't.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think the prophets would say? Do you think they would? They would say Batman or Batman could beat God?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, coming full circle, I think what we've agreed upon at least is that the Joker can beat Krampus, or no?
No, I don't think so.
Magic.
Well, I think
the power of Christmas would take on the Joker.
I think Jack Nicholson and Heath Ledger's Jonklers could beat Krankus, but I think Krankus could beat Cesar Romero and Joaquin Phoenix's Jonklers.
But this brings me back to the actual movie. How is there a feasible way to beat Krampus, like to get out of the situation they're in? Say you're not the kid, say you're like the cousin who's there like, okay, well now I'm fucked by an eldritch being, what do I do?
The thing is, like, they're fucked from the beginning. I'm pretty sure once the storm comes, they're already in the pocket universe. So they're it's kind of like another Toni Collette movie, Hereditary.
It's kind
of
like Hereditary.
They never had a fucking chance to get out of that situation.
I never really thought about it.
And all of it started from the sins of their relatives.
Yep.
Hereditary.
Sins of their mothers.
Krampus, Ari Aster's a fucking Krampus stealing hereditary.
Culture Nick just so desperately wants to connect this with Hereditary.
Okay.
Respect that.
Okay, hold on. So if Krampus exists in this universe, does that mean Santa exists in this universe?
It would have to, right? If there's an evil Santa, there's got to be a regular Santa.
So that means through the power of Santa, somebody could probably beat Krampus, because you think Santa's stronger than Krampus, right?
Which version of Santa is it? Is it like Tim Allen Santa, or is it like the Santa from
Polar always Express? Tim Giamatti Allen's the only Santa. Tim Allen's the only Santa. Oh.
Paul Giamatti Santa from Shred Claws could kick his ass.
Bobby Bacala Santa from The Sopranos.
Paul Giamatti Santa just had fucking rosacea and like every disease on fucking planet Earth.
That's a good one.
Bobby Bacala opens up a pocket universe filled with fucking gabagool.
and saves
Adam Scott and Toni Collette.
No, but I
think he's wearing a wire, so that's what brings him down at the end.
Yeah, it's the Rico charges
in this situation.
They got Krampus on Rico, dude.
So you guys are in the situation though with Krampus. What are you guys doing? Because like,
dying.
I don't know what the hell I'd do.
I'd let myself get eaten. I think it's better than fucking.
Like, I've always wanted to try being Vord.
I'd try to fist fight him if I could, but the snow would probably just suck me in. Although, if your video is true, then just the snow wouldn't exist and life would be meaningless.
But it's magic, so it would work.
Actually, the best way to go is the pit. Because you die instantly in that pit, I think. Every other death is slow, I think. I don't know. I think the pit is probably the way to go. But.
So, you guys are going to have to explain to me, because I was so confused for a while, because I thought for the longest time that Krankus and his goons, their weakness was fire. I thought that's why the German grandmother kept lighting the fire, because I thought that was like their weakness or something.
It made it very
unclear. Like, that just,
it was yeah, just like, just so they don't go in the chimney.
They, like, light torches. Yeah, but then they light torches. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I guess you guys aren't afraid of fire. I was so confused. I thought that was like a important plot point where it's like, that's how we beat Krankus.
I think they needed to have more rules and like give the characters, like maybe place in a plot device that allows the character to potentially get out. You can still yoink that away from them, or like maybe it's not true. But
yeah,
I
it doesn't
like
feel like there really was a way
to
beat
to,
him
like,
in that universe.
Because it just felt like they were kind of fucked from the beginning. It was like, so Krampus will come for you and
like, that's the reason that whole trope of like going to like the tech guru or going to like the witch and having them explain the rules is, like, exists in horror movies, so that they gives you a chance of hope. You know?
Yeah, well, the grandma was that. That was her role.
But her whole thing was everybody dies but one person. That's her whole thing.
Can I just say that the German grandmother is like the biggest fucking asshole in the world? Like, fucking shit. She is such a dick.
Why?
Like, because she was withholding all these fucking secrets in history with Krankus that could have been useful for this fucking family to know to defend themselves against
Krankus.
Well,
nobody's gonna believe
her.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's just like, okay, you know what? You guys have suffered enough.
You go sit down at your family Christmas tomorrow or next day. In 2 days, go to your family Christmas, be like, hey, mom, hey, dad, by the way, I was sucked into this wormhole and this fucking weird guy with hooves attacked me and started eating all of my friends, and I'm the only one who survived.
They'll stick you in a home.
and you have a little pendant that says Kronkus on it, and they're like, okay,
believe
Tim,
in Kronkus.
We'll put it on the tree for you.
Look, Mom, I have the what the fuck are they called? Ornaments? Yeah, I got an ornament from Kronkus. This is proof that Kronkus exists. Oh, what a stupid movie. And that's the frustrating thing, because it could have been more stupid. Because, like, again, I wanted it to be like Gremlins. I wanted it to be like Small Soldiers, where it just fully committed to being this stupid, over-the-top. Like, hell, why not? Like, make it kind of like Black Dynamite, where, like, Black Dynamite is a purposely bad, shitty movie. But they play into that as, like, as a means of, like, extra layer of comedy slash satire. And I think something like that would have worked well for a movie like this, where they just do a bunch of, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, like, yes, this is stupid, this is idiotic, but we're going to lean into it. I mean, they already put Looney Tunes sound effects in the movie anyway, so, like, might as well just fully commit to being, like, a bonkers Evil Dead 2 type comedy.
I actually like the sound design in this movie. I thought it was quirky and fun.
I did as well, but it's just that one moment where they played the Looney Tunes sound effect, like, what
was it with the gingerbread
back, like,
characters?
I think
about?
So. Yeah, it was
they
something like that. Where I was just like, "Whoa,
point,
what
I
the
think.
Fuck?" Yeah,
yeah.
I like
I
when
think...
the dog ate the gingerbread. You didn't like that? That was cute.
I hated the, like, action. Some of the editing was really bad. Like, there were two examples where it was like the gingerbread jumping at him, and then he goes like, and then
yeah,
it just cuts.
It didn't
the dog
feel like the dog
there,
actually
was, like,
ate it.
The dog is just sitting there. And then the other moment was where the daughter is hiding under the ice cream truck, or the mailing truck, where Krampus is walking around. And then you have that little jester's, like, Jack in the Box going, and it pops out. And then she screams, and then it cuts to a top view of the fan shaking. And I'm like, what the fuck happened?
How did this even happen? But I think that was intentional. That's due to the
but
rating.
It wasn't,
I didn't,
like,
want to show
guys,
it.
It wasn't. It was just confusing.
It's called cinematic fucking intrigue. God,
it was
damn.
Just like, wait, did
yeah,
the Jack
God,
in the Box do
don't
something?
Don't you guys
to
know
her?
Anything about
seriously.
Structure
thank
and
you, Tim.
Filmmaking and editing?
Yes.
God. Yeah.
What's that soda that they drink? Fresca, right? In the boys.
Fresco.
Do y'all think we can get a Fresca sponsorship? This is really random, but.
I don't know.
Do you think we could swing that?
If we can get a Fresca sponsorship, we can goddamn get Chris Stuckman.
I'll drink so much goddamn Fresca on this show. Fresca, reach out.
The boys is honestly disgusting with their product placement. Almost every Amazon show is. It's fucking
it's
horrible.
True. They don't hide
We're
it at all.
You're telling me that the show produced by Amazon is disgusting with its product placement? You gotta. That's a surprise. That is crazy talk right there.
It was funny when the boys first came out. I remember people were being like, "This is one of the most succinct critiques of capitalism I've ever seen on television." I'm just like, "That is fucking insane."
It's funded by
you. Don't understand the irony of your statement.
I mean, I like the boys, but it's
realize...
not that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Some people didn't realize that Homelander was a parody of Trump until season 3. Like, I don't know what to tell these people.
Yeah.
So you guys want to move on to
what? Silent Night?
Silent Night, Deadly Night.
So VHS, Nick, you...
I actually do, because...
So yeah, I watched a video, and it was like a Quentin Tarantino interview from a long time ago, and he was like... I don't remember if he said it was his favorite Christmas movie or his favorite horror movie, and I never got around to watching it. So that's why I wanted to watch it.
Damn, dude. Quentin Tarantino sucked at recommending shit. I hated this movie, dude.
I actually liked it. I saw that same interview. I think it was like... I forgot what the channel is called, but it's a great channel that just uploads videos of actors / directors talking about movies they really like or something like that. And I think I saw the same video that you saw. Because I didn't know anything about the movie other than it was a slasher film. I mean, it was always on my watch list for a long while, but the way Tarantino was talking about it was kind of interesting. So I tried to kind of watch the movie in that way. Okay, I'll let you describe the premise of the movie first before I get deeper into my thoughts. But I will just say it was an interesting watch.
Well, basically, it's like it's about a kid who witnesses his family get killed by an angry man dressed as Santa Claus. And it kind of shows his life throughout the years and kind of his, like, fall from, like, being able to connect with people and, like, going kind of crazy. Because his family gets killed in the middle of the street. as a child. Then it shows him going to like this orphanage run by nuns, and they just basically abuse the shit out of him. And then turns out whenever he's a fucking 18-year-old, he goes fucking crazy. Like, that's pretty much the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
So I watched this movie with my entire family.
There's a lot of tits for that.
Yeah, big mistake. Huge. But basically, from like the first 5 minutes, everyone in my family was just dying laughing at the movie. The second they just showed the old grandpa just doing the 1,000-yard stare in his little chair in the old folks' home, my family was just dying laughing. But this movie sucked ass.
I don't think it really sucks ass that bad. I mean, it's not great, but like for the time, like it did some cool things.
Good movies came out in 1984. Like, okay, it's not for
a time. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was saying not for slashers. Like the majority of them were pretty cheesy, and I think it did do something fairly interesting with like going through the years. I don't think it was done perfectly at all. But I think it was fairly interesting how they told the story.
Did you like this? Did you like this, Tim or Ghoul? If you guys like this shit?
I gave it a 5 out of 10. I thought it was fun, but I was never like, damn, this is actually good. I was like, okay, this is another Friday the 13th Halloween type slasher clone of the 80s, but it's got a Christmas coat of paint on it. So I'm just going to embrace it and have fun and watch the kills. And I was like, God damn, there's a lot of topless women in this. They really like doing that.
I got to give credit to my brother for pointing out something, because he was like, who the fuck? Obviously, like, he needs to kill more people, because everyone that we already know, except for the orphanage people, who he's already moved past them. But everyone that he kills in the second and third act of this movie are people that we've never fucking seen before. So they just keep introducing random fucking people that he has to kill, that we have no connection to. It's like, who is this? Why is he killing them? How does he's supposed to be killing them because they're naughty. How the fuck would he know that they're naughty or not if he doesn't even know who they are? You know? Yeah.
Well, he worked with, it sets it up that he worked with them for a while, you know?
The kids that were sledding?
Oh, no.
No, I don't fucking know.
Those were not kids. Remember, they kicked those people off their sled.
Oh, yeah, they did that was naughty.
Yeah, they kicked those people off the sled, and they were like stealing it. And then he killed them.
So he saw that?
I guess so. It doesn't show that he saw it.
You didn't
hear
him crunching around in the snow?
It showed us.
He's fucking omnipotent, crazy.
But
Santa.
What was also funny is those guys were like 40 years old playing they like 15-year-olds. They were like fucking 40.
They're like, hey, Pipsqueak, picking on like a 14-year-old, and they're like 38.
The kids on the sled?
The guys who were taking
kids,
the sled.
Kids that, the guys that took the sled, they were like in their at least like mid-20s.
But
that's very much a trope of just like playing adults having played the like 15.
I mean, he spared that one girl, and then he gave. What did he give her? Like
he
handed
gave her
the fucking
a box cutter.
Yeah, he hands her the fucking box cutter. She's like,
I was confident. I was like, oh damn, is this going to be one of those movies where they just kill kids like on screen?
So basically, there's two sequels to this movie. So he effectively created two more Santa killers. The little girl, because the same thing that happened to him when he was a kid happens to the little girl. And he gives her a fucking murder weapon. He just wants Santa Rampage, which I can't get behind. I don't like that.
I thought the kid at the very end of the movie was the one that becomes the killer.
Yeah, that's the main one. But there's also the girl. Like, what's going to happen with her?
Oh.
She saw Santa kill her entire family, too.
Can I just say...
And her weird boyfriend.
Can I just say the ending to this film is the funniest shit ever. I legitimately burst out laughing. To the ending of the film, because the film ends with the guy getting shot, and then I guess it was his brother, because the nun superior mother was just like, your brother was so much worse than you, you're a good boy, or something like that. And then like once he dies, I guess like his evilness transfers over to his brother, because his brother just looks at the superior mother with this like evil stare, and he's like, naughty. And then it just ends.
Why did they
the
make him
credit? And I was like, I was bursting out laughing. I was like, that's so fucking stupid.
Why would the nun make him dress up? Or no, was it the nun? It was the store manager. They made him dress up as Santa. But then they like forced the kid to sit on Santa's lap. It's like, why are they doing that?
No,
because it's Christmas.
There was like the nice nun too, and she was just like complacent with everything that was happening.
Yeah, I love it at the end. She's like, you have to understand why he's doing this. It's like, he killed fucking 9 people. There's no excuse.
What have you done?
This is why people hate liberals. Like, you can't be doing that.
Oh, so you're saying the Democrats hired this guy to kill all those 9 people is what you're saying?
I mean, we have to check the bank records of Nancy Pelosi in 1984.
I'd fucking do it. Saying, you're right on the money on that.
There's some wire transfers to the North Pole.
I didn't realize there were so many damn.
I liked this movie. I wouldn't say it was like amazing, but I actually genuinely thought it was pretty entertaining for a slasher. Like, I mean,
it was fun. They had some fun kills. I really liked the antler kill.
You know what's funny? This is crazy and totally against character for me, but I agree with Nick. I also had fun watching this film.
It was a fun time.
I kind of liked
it. I had fun laughing at it, but it fucking sucked. Well, it was a terrible movie.
Here's the thing. The film, so my experience with this movie is that it was like a cinematic jump rope, and that it kept jumping back and forth between being a good movie and a bad movie, because I will admit, there is some impressive kills. I think the actual kills, in terms of how they're coordinated and how they're presented, are impressive. I'll give it that. Like Gulev said, I really liked the antler kill. I thought that was pretty fun. I liked the first couple of kills where he just goes crazy and goes hog wild at all his fellow employees and stuff like that. But what really holds this movie down for me is just how dog shit a lot of the acting is. Like, I don't know where the director got these actors,
that's fair.
But some of these people just cannot act for shit. They are so,
I will say
the guy who
owned the store was sick.
He was honestly the best actor in the movie. Like, I was like, oh,
he was like, what did he say?
I'm drunk.
Yeah, he's like, time to get shit faced. So fucking funny, bro.
Yeah, but
honestly,
I wonder how
drunk you'd get if you fucking like took a shot every time the character said, punish,
naughty. That would make
the main actor was fucking horrible, I'll say.
Yeah, he can't.
No,
act
guys,
for shit.
If you're telling me that Quentin Tarantino recommended this movie to people, I think it's like a long game con that he wants to recommend all film bros the worst movies ever, so everyone thinks he's the only one who makes good movies.
Well, I think what
is that possible?
Think what he got out of this is, I think, because he likes grindhouse films. He really loves just campy, like, jauntily produced B horror slasher action movies type shit, because that's what Grindhouse was. His double feature with Planet Terror and what the fuck was it called?
Death Proof.
Yeah, that. Thank you. Yeah, because that's what that basically was. It was his homage, his love letter to shitty B horror movies, you know. And this kind of embodies that. Like, because I'm willing to believe that this director, this movie, is very self-aware in terms of what it's going for. Like, it knows it's making something trashy, something very exploitative, something very cheap and over the top. And for what it's going for and what resources they have, because I can't imagine this was a very, like, high-budget film, it, for the most part, delivers on what it's trying to achieve. I mean, it's still a stupid movie. The acting is still awful, and it's still loaded with what I like to call TWSs, which stands for time-wasting shit, you know? But
Tim, I like TWB. You say TWB sometimes, that's way better.
Okay, TWB, let's go with that. TWB, which stands for time-wasting bullshit. It's still filled with TWBs, but for the most part, what it's going for, I kind of appreciate it, you know? Like, it kind of reminds me of the... And Quentin Tarantino said this as well, so this is not my original idea, but it is an interesting connection. It kind of reminded me of the first Rob Zombie Halloween movie, where in that film, he actually went out of his way to try and make Michael Myers, like, a real character or whatever. Like, try to make him, like, a real human grounded character. I mean, I don't think it worked, because at the end of the day, Michael Myers isn't a character. He's a fucking demonic, like,
he's a force of nature.
Yeah, he's a force of nature that kills people. Because by making him grounded and realistic, that defeats the point of having a slasher villain in the first place. But I think for something like this, where they actually tried to give a shit and actually tried to go out of their way to make this like, oh,
softcore
cute
porn
kid.
To make softcore porn.
Yeah, it got softcore porn at times, like, for sure. But like to say it doesn't have
half
any
the
like
fucking movie.
It
half
doesn't,
the movie was just slow caressing of tits.
That was like 20% of the movie. That's not the
there
whole
was like
movie.
The
You're...
same exact shot.
But like,
of
think
two people laying on the side, like laying
think
on
about
their
movie.
Sides
like,
and rubbing
also, you
each
have
other.
To take into account when Tarantino saw this too. Like back
he's
then,
like 12.
Like there were probably not a lot of movies that like took the time to like split the movie into like three parts like that, where it was like actually showing their like progression as a person. I'm not saying it did it well. But I still think the way
no,
they
it's
like
an, it's an interesting experiment at the time, because like yeah. I don't know if any other ones had actually had the main character become the slasher villain. Whereas like Friday the 13th, it's Jason shows up after hearing about him. Nightmare on Elm Street, same thing. He's already had a mythology. Michael Myers, you hear about him. He's not the main character. But this, they actually showed like, no, this is the main character transforming into your classic slasher villain, and then the final half of the movie is just him going on a rampage. I think that's
yeah,
kind of
they,
fun.
Yeah,
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree that conceptually that is cool, but they fucking boggled that his transformation. It was done
felt
all
out
through
of nowhere.
Through visual cues and it was so jumbled. Like there's
yeah,
no
he didn't,
actual
he
motivation
did,
for him to be
it
doing
really didn't
any of this.
Seem
shit.
Like he yeah, it didn't really seem like he would have done it until like right then, and it's just like, oh, I guess okay. I guess it's just because the story said so type of thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like this whole movie
at most
could have
he
just
would
been...
have killed that one dude, and then he would have been like, what have I done?
Yeah, this whole
but
movie...
after that, he's like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just gonna murder everybody.
This whole movie could have just been avoided if Sister Maria, or whatever her name wasn't just the laziest person in the world. Like, if he just properly commuted to her employer...
She should have just fucked him. She's obviously thought he was cute.
Whoa. What are you
fucking
what
weirdo,
are you,
dude?
Yeah, what
Wait,
are you
no,
talking about? What? Hold
not
on.
Not when he's
on.
A kid.
You can't just say
not when he's
yeah,
a kid,
you
bro.
Just fucked him and just move on. Like, whoa, right, whoa, whoa.
Nick,
what are you talking about? Yeah.
Not when he's a kid, bro. When he's 18. Later on.
That's still weird.
And she's still
she
a nun.
Really
she
sweet
can't
about him,
do
bro.
That. That's like that's
so
the whole
fucked.
Point of being a nun to not do shit.
Wait,
like
which
that.
Nun are we talking about? Are we talking about the nice nun or the mean nun?
The nice
you
one.
You have to go
yeah.
go sit in the anime corner for 5 minutes.
Yeah, you yeah. have to go banish to the anime corner.
I'm sorry, guys. The movie fucking had so many tits, and my brain's in fucking Titville. I don't fucking know. I guess.
Punish.
You've been naughty.
I thought you the whole time. Naughty, I Nick. Thought the whole time that they were gonna. She's gonna end up fucking. You know, they're gonna entangle.
What the fuck?
Because he was obsessed with boobies.
What was going on in your brain? Like
he was like obsessed with boobies the whole movie.
Get your mind out of the gutter, okay? And watch
okay,
a real
fine.
Christian.
I'll never talk about boobies on the podcast.
Real
no boobies coming out of this
and
mouth.
And watch a
no,
real
that's
Christian
not, that's
wholesome
we
show like Dun 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 or Chainsaw Man, okay? Dude,
oh my
come
God.
On.
He wasn't obsessed with boobies. He was obsessed with justice. He was like, I thought he was going to become Batman Santa, but he ended up becoming Joker Santa.
Well, what was the thing with him just staring through the keyhole?
I think,
I don't know,
well, yeah,
was,
but he was a kid.
Well,
he was curious about movies.
He was also
I guess.
Curious, and then in that scene, he was getting flashbacks to when his mom was being assaulted.
And then
assaulted.
He was just staring at those two people fucking in the break room too.
Yeah, but I think he felt like, wait, was that the assault scene or was
no,
that
yeah.
when they
well,
were
whenever he kills
what,
yeah
scenes.
whenever he sexually assaults the chick. Or whatever.
Wait,
or no, what
did
he do?
Scenes. There was the Santa assaulting
the,
his mom.
The couple who were in like the back room or something of the store? Or
yeah.
What are you talking
yeah.
about?
Whenever he snaps.
She
yeah.
was like, no, stop.
Yeah, so, and then he kills the dude.
But
he thinks
was,
he's helping.
You're saying he... Because I was a little bit tapped out watching this. So there was a moment where he was spying on consensual sex as an adult. He did that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
as an adult, I don't remember when that
he's
happened.
Just,
that was
I
the whole break room thing. He was like watching them.
That was not consensual.
No, it was, wasn't it? And at
no,
first,
no,
and then he was trying to like push it further, right?
Well,
yeah, it started out consensual, and then he started pressing her.
About you, Nick, this episode. No, she was
okay,
like,
it's been a few days since I've watched
this.
Okay,
this is not okay. Like, I don't
go back the footage.
Nick is showing a lot of red flags right here. I'm very concerned right now.
I don't remember the scene. I guess I thought that they were macking it, and then he like wanted her to do more, and then he got pissed.
Literally, like, stop touching me, and then he like. Yeah, he was like, she hits him, and he's like, "You bitch!" And then rips her shirt open.
No, they were macking it, and then
started off consensual.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They were just kissing.
Yeah,
that's what I was saying.
No, that's what I was saying as well. It started out as consensual, and then it stopped being consensual when she was like,
"Yeah." And then he killed the guy.
Okay, so we're all on the same page. Sorry, I thought we were on a weird tangent where I was just like, "What the hell are we talking about right now?"
No, I was saying he was watching the consensual part.
Yeah.
I mean, he was also watching the non-consensual part, because that's what, like, breaks him at the end. That's when he starts doing the naughty punishment or whatever. Yeah. Remember? Yeah.
Which is also, why is this movie so obsessed with sex? Like, that's like I guess maybe it was setting it up so, like, whenever
the,
like,
the 80s. That's the only
Well, the nun was like, what they're doing is a sin above all sins. And then he's, I guess, so he's an adult. He's like, this is a sin, I guess. The nun told me so.
I didn't realize how many damn sequels this movie got. So you have
apparently the third one's actually kind of sick.
So they
might go through.
The original came out in 1984, and then you had 1987 Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, and then in Silent Night, Deadly Night 3, Better Watch Out with an exclamation point. You have in 1989, and then in 1990, so only a year later. Goddamn, Silent Night, Deadly Night 4, Initiation, and then Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toymaker in 91, so another year later. I bet these are mega low budget. And then they had a soft reboot, sort of loose remake in 2012 called Silent Night, which I have never even heard of.
Yeah, I want. Why are you giving this movie the benefit of the doubt when my Halloween recommendation, which was a fucking great movie made on $50,000, you were like, "Ah, this sucks. This is the worst shit ever."
Oh,
that was a good movie. This movie fucking sucked, dude.
Well,
I never. You guys know me. I don't get like this, but this movie pissed me off.
You say that about every time we have a discussion movie. Like this. It's like it seems like
I think
awesome
we had different expectations of the movie.
Okay,
I think it's an expectation
exactly
thing.
To answer your to answer your question, I think it's in terms of tone at the end of the day, because the reason why I just couldn't accept it in Kronkus is because the tone was just all over the place.
No, he's talking he's talking about his Halloween suggestion.
He's talking about the one
where they're doing the exorcism.
Which we probably shouldn't even get it. Like, you can respond to him, but we shouldn't spend too much time on that, because probably fucking
keep in mind, I still don't think Silent Deadly Night is like a good movie, because I gave it a 5 out of 10 at the end, but it's like a 5 out of 10 with like an asterisk next to it, where it's like, this isn't a good movie, but I still kind of enjoyed it for what it was, you know? Because like, at the end of the day, it's a trashy slasher film. It's grindhousey B-movie, horror movie type shit. You know, like, I don't have a lot of high expectations for things like this, and I was pretty mildly entertained from beginning to end. But with something like Kronkus, when it's like a $50 million, whatever, what did you say the budget was? $50 million or something like that? Whatever.
I was talking about a dark song that was $50,000.
Oh.
The horror movie that we watched on Halloween.
Well, yeah. The difference is a dark song is incredibly boring.
It was not boring. It was fucking great. Did you end up watching it ever or no?
I never saw it.
Yeah, I think the difference the difference between a dark – okay, to be more specific, because I know just saying it's boring is not acceptable. So the difference between a dark song and this is that a dark song starts out with a very interesting premise, but then it's just so repetitive. It just does the same thing over and over and over again. And by like the hour and 20 minute mark, I was just done with the movie. And I just wanted the film. I just wanted the movie to end to get to something interesting. And in something like this, it's things were constantly happening. Even if the thing that was happening was stupid, at least things were happening. At least things were moving on and progressing, and something remotely interesting or fun or funny or entertaining was happening. And I gotta respect that. I do admire that. You know, like, I think technically, if you want to be technical about it, yes, A Dark Song is technically the better film over Silent Night and Deadly Night, but I got more entertainment value out of this one compared to A Dark Song. Like, I didn't get a lot of entertainment value out of A Dark Song. I don't want to watch that movie again. This I could honestly put on again. Like, if it was on, like, as a Halloween party or Christmas party or something like that, sure, I could watch it. I could sit down and watch it. So hopefully that answers your question.
You also have to keep in mind, we've already talked about this a little bit on the podcast, we enjoy watching bad movies for fun, more so than you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm out with that. I don't get how you guys do it. I'm just like, yeah, it's funny, but it's like, I would rather be watching something good. Like,
but there's not that.
Explain to me why it's good to watch bad. Like, do you seek out anything else that's bad? You're like,
well,
oh,
it's fun.
It's like the same as watching.
You go to like a deli and you're like, yo, guys, you got any fucking rotten roast beef I can fucking chomp down real quick?
It's almost like sitting down to watch a comedy movie. Like, it's
no,
like,
Nick, listen, it's if you learn to watch the horrible art, it just makes the good art taste that much better.
That's true too.
It's like
I'm not saying the sandwich analogy works entirely, but
I don't think that's fair because sandwiches are food that I need to survive as a human being. I don't need art to survive as a human being, but
I would disagree.
It's more like
your whole life is centered around art. I think
that's
more
like,
okay, it's
that,
more like
I'll
I can have
that was an unfair comparison to make. You're right. Yeah.
It's more like this. I can go and get like one of those really nice like mugs from like fucking whatever. What's a store that has nice mugs?
Ray Dunn.
So I'm gonna have this nice fucking Ray Dunn mug, right? I can spend my money on that. That's great. This mug is awesome. It's gonna last me forever. Mm-hmm. Or I can go to Goodwill and I can get like a mug that's like Elmo with a giant erection that somebody got at like Spencer's Gifts in 1980. I'd rather drink out of the mug that's Elmo with a boner than the fucking nice Ray Dunn mug. You know what I'm saying?
There's an art to funny, bad, barnyard level films. Like, it's kind of hard to describe it, but when you watch something that is just so terrible and so fundamentally fucked, it just kind of wraps back around to being a good movie in the sense that you're having a swell ass time watching the film. Like, when you watch, say, The Room or Samurai Cop or Birdemic or Plan 9 from Outer Space or something like that, you know you're in for a real treat because every single moment of those movies, they think they're making something cool or serious or epic or something, and they don't realize what they're making is so fundamentally bad and so terrible that you get a lot of ironic enjoyment out of that, you know? Then it suddenly becomes a comedy where you're just laughing at everything because everything is so stupid and so hilarious, you know? So
yeah, I know. Like, yeah. I get that. I mean, I get ironic enjoyment out of it. I laugh at it. But for me, it's like, I would rather laugh at things that are funny because they're trying to be funny because it's like a smart joke or like a stand-up comedian who's making an observation that I find insightful or engaging in some way. I like, it's very thin for me to be watching this movie. Like, I can only laugh at it so many. I can only laugh at bad filmmaking so many times before it's like, why am I wasting my time watching this? I'm just
going to have to have a
watch something good.
We're going to have a bad movie episode and try to convert you, bro.
No, but like, I don't even think there's, what is there even to talk about with them? It's like, oh, that was funny when that sucked. That was funny when that sucked. It's like, I don't know.
We need to find you
the
right
movie.
That's
like the charm, though. Like, when you go see
Silent Night, Deadly Night is not exactly what I'd consider a funny bad movie. It's just kind of a goofy slasher from the 80s.
Yeah, there's too many.
It's not a good bad movie.
It's not Who Killed Captain
There's too many
Alex.
Good stuff in this film to consider it barnyard level, but the parts that are barnyard level are really, really hilarious.
Tim, literally, what was good in this movie?
The practical effects were fun.
Yeah, I liked the kills.
I thought the way that like the original Bad Santa at the beginning like overreacted about everything. It was
just like $31, what a night.
He's just so pissed.
$31,
I like
Christmas.
That. I like that.
Yeah,
I like.
He
that
just
guy.
Shoots the guy for no fucking reason. I guess no, he pulled a gun on him. I guess.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, ah, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know, why didn't he kill the baby though?
He should have killed the baby.
Why didn't he kill the baby? That is a good question.
I thought for sure he was going to kill the baby.
Yeah, they never mentioned that. I was expecting that to be some like plot thing, like my sister showed up as an adult and she's going to be the one.
Well, no, his brother was with him the whole time.
He was
in the orphanage. Yeah, he was like, he was like
really?
A younger.
Wait, he was.
Oh, that's never, right, he's the kid that's like Billy. Wait,
and yeah, they never spent any time with him, but he was like always in the background.
Oh, was that
yeah,
his
that's
brother?
Super weird.
I thought that was like
yeah, his brother's the one that picks up the axe at the end and says naughty.
Okay,
oh, that's right.
I thought for the longest time that was just like a friend that he made during his time at the orphanage. I didn't realize that was his brother. Okay,
it didn't make it super clear, but it was.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like that's kind of a waste. If like, why even have him have a sibling in that car in that horrific accident if you're not going to actually do anything with the character?
I think they just did it for that final scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, I don't know. I guess you guys can try to turn me on to this shit, but it's going to be hard. I mean, like I said,
I'm recommending Silent Night 2 for our next step.
I liked watching The Room sometimes, but even then, like, my friends would put it on all the time, and I was like, all right, no. You know, like, so, let's watch something good, please.
Let me ask you this. Have you never sat down and watched, say, like, I don't know, like, let's say, like, The Last Airbender. Have you never thought to yourself when watching The Last Airbender, wow.
I never saw that.
This is, okay, well, okay.
I don't even ironically love that movie because I just fucking... I hate fucking M. Night so much.
I can't watch that one.
And also, it's just shitting on... Yeah, that one's hard for me.
It's a rough one.
See, I would feel the same way.
You guys don't even like Unbreakable or Glass.
No, I like Unbreakable.
I like Unbreakable.
Glass.
I like Unbreakable and Split. I didn't like Glass.
Glass is fucking awful. Yeah.
Glass was the one where...
That's the third movie.
They're all in it, right?
They're all in the asylum. Yeah. But I haven't seen that one.
I wasn't huge on Glass, but I like the first two.
You
know why the first two were better? Is because the Unbreakable and this Split were both written when he had talent.
Yeah,
he lost it.
Well, because he wrote those back when he was making good movies, and Split was just, he didn't make that for the longest time because he just had the script sitting around. And then he wrote Glass right before it came out. And it was
Glass
like,
was just way too ambitious for what he was doing.
Yeah, because part of what's so disappointing about Glass is that it could have been something interesting, but then the whole movie, they just do nothing. They're just dicking around for 2 hours or however the fuck long the film is. And then once an action scene starts to happen, it's shot on shitty GoPro. So it's like one of the most disgusting looking action scenes ever in a superhero film on like a visual perspective. And what's so frustrating is that so many... like Redditors and pretentious douchebags are claiming that Glass is some secret masterpiece. It's like a genius subversion on the superhero genre. I don't know how you could possibly get something like that from the movie, because the film just rams in your fucking face how just, oh, isn't this like Superman or something like that? Or, you know, like, it's just, I don't know how you could possibly get that from the film because it's so reductive. Like, there's literally nothing happening for a 2 hour long movie.
Well, it's also, M. Night's also never been able to show any restraint in any of his films. There's no reason anybody would actually believe that he like was trying to subvert anything.
Signs shows restraint. The ending to Glass, I'd say Signs is probably one of his closer ones. Signs was fine.
I think Signs
it was
is
okay.
A limitation of budget, so he couldn't.
Signs,
really go
Signs, and like Sixth Sense, both of those movies are like fairly good.
I wouldn't even say Signs had like restraint because they show the fucking aliens that they shouldn't have shown, and they look really bad.
Yeah.
You don't think they should have showed the aliens at all? I mean, the scene where you see the alien through the news is like one of the most iconic alien scenes in cinema.
That's a good scene. I like when you see the alien in the reflection of the TV at the very end. But when they show the full shot of it, I'm like, ooh, this looks rough.
Yeah, but that was probably totally earned.
That was really? Totally earned.
I genuinely think Signs is pretty good. But I think like most of his movies, like The Village onward, actually What's the Lady in the Water?
Lady in the Water is hilarious.
I don't remember that one. I saw it when I was a kid.
I love that era of M. Night films from Lady in the Water to After Earth, because every single one of those movies is a comedic masterpiece. Every single one of those movies, including The Happening. So Lady in the Water, The Happening, Last Airbender, After Earth, each one of those movies are barnyard level films. I get so much ironic enjoyment out of
those
movies. The
Happening is a barnyard level film. I go back and watch that one like just for like laughs sometimes.
Should have been more interested in science, Jake.
Chris Stuckman has a series called Hilariosity. We should do one called Barnyardiosity, where we talk about these stupid ass movies.
You know,
I have one that we should all do. We should do a bad movie episode, but we need to, like, all three of us, me, Tim, and Gulif, all need a very different type of bad movie for you. So that way we can kind of make sure you actually don't like
bad
movies.
A bad action, a bad drama, or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, or just different styles of bad. Bad for different reasons.
Let's do that. I want to do that. Yeah, because I have an upcoming video that I want to make about Thunderpants, so if I can just get you guys to watch Thunderpants, that would be awesome.
I mean, I have a bad movie too.
Oh, what's perfect.
A bad movie?
Yeah.
Climax.
Okay. Great.
I'm just kidding. Kidding.
Yeah, but okay, but one last point about M. Night too. I don't know about you guys, but when I watched The Sixth Sense for the first time, I felt like I couldn't fully enjoy that movie because that film was just spoiled to death for me. Like, that movie has just been memed so hard and spoiled to such an extent that I just couldn't fully enjoy it because I just couldn't stop thinking about how every single stupid video slash thing ever tangentially related to The Sixth Sense was just, dude, remember The Sixth Sense? Yeah, Bruce Willis was alive the whole time, or, you know, whatever. And I just like,
whoa, he was alive the whole time?
That's awesome. But you can't hold that against, I mean, you're not holding
that's
that against
just
the
pop
movie, right?
That's just pop culture.
No, I'm
that,
not.
I mean, if anything, that's something in the movie's favor that it became so ubiquitous. It's the ending, everyone knows it. So
no,
you can't
escape
it.
No, but it's still frustrating because I want to love the movie as much as everyone else does, but I can't because of the pop culture relevancy that film has, where everyone is talking slash memeing about the ending. It was really frustrating because I wanted to love it as much as everyone else did. That's why I really loved Unbreakable and why I consider that my favorite M. Night film, because that one isn't nearly as memed or spoiled as much, so I could actually go into that one with more of like a fresh perspective, and I really enjoyed
Speaking
it at the end. I think it's awesome. Yeah,
you need to watch Fight Club soon because that shit's gonna get spoiled somehow randomly.
I have gone 20
That's
years
not a big
in my
like
life.
Spoiler movie though.
Yeah, it is. Don't say shit.
I have gone 20
no,
years
I'm
in
just
my
saying,
life
it's not
without
about,
Fight
like,
Club
the ending
spoiling.
Necessarily, though. Tim, it's. I mean, you know, I'm not. You know, you should try to not get it spoiled, but it's really just. It's. I wouldn't say it's a big movie. Like the ending isn't gonna change your opinion on it. It's all about the journey. It's such an awesome movie.
But I mean, this is the same guy that said Sixth Sense was ruined for him because he knew the twist.
Yeah.
So it might be different. But also, I like David Fincher a lot more than I do M. Night Shyamalan. I mean, David Fincher is probably my favorite modern director working today, so I have no doubt I'll love Fight Club. I'm actually waiting for the right opportunity to watch. So the reason why I haven't seen it yet is because I'm waiting for some kind of anniversary theatrical release of the film, and supposedly it's getting one next year. I think it's getting like a 4K transfer or something like that, and it's also getting a re-release in theaters. So that's when I'll watch Fight Club for the first time, when I can finally see
Just
it on the big screen.
Just watch it on your goddamn laptop, kid.
I'll watch it on my
really should.
Fucking
You're
phone.
Missing out on a, like a really good movie.
Watch it on your fucking telephone.
Watch it on your fucking telephone.
Get real. Get real.
No, I don't know. Wait, so you really don't know anything about what happens in
no,
Fight Club?
I don't know anything about
it's
Fight Club.
It blows my mind.
The closest thing I know about the ending to Fight Club is when like the Chinese dub or edit or something of Fight Club had, like, because I remember this was trending on Twitter and everyone was complaining about how the Chinese version of Fight Club had some shitty end text where it was
I'll just
oh,
say
it turns out
I'm just gonna
the,
spoil I'm gonna the, spoil one thing I'm gonna spoil one thing
I would prefer you
a Pixies
it.
Song plays at the end.
Okay, cool.
Wait, do you even know what the first rule of Fight Club is?
I think it's have sex in Fight Club. I think that's the first rule.
Yes
Damn
it, so you have
you know it. You know what it is, say it. You know what it is.
It's have sex in Fight Club.
No, wait, you really
I think he knows. He's fucking
no,
with
you. No, I'm fucking with you. I'm fucking with you. I know what it is.
Okay. Okay, you know that. Okay, so you do know some things about Fight Club.
Yeah, and I know
his
it's
name
amazing.
Is Robert Paulson.
Yeah, there are three David Fincher films I still haven't seen. I haven't seen Panic Room, I haven't seen The Game, and I haven't seen Fight Club. Those are the only three ones I haven't seen. The rest I've seen at least once in my life.
Who's in Panic Room again? I think I saw
Jodie
that.
Foster.
Jodie Foster.
Stewart, Jared Leto.
Jared Leto okay. with what the fuck are they called? I don't know. I
Who's
forgot
panicking in the room in that movie?
It's Jodie
Foster
and
a young Kristen Stewart, I believe. And Forrest Whitaker is the criminal that's trying to get into the panic room, I believe. No?
So Forrest Whitaker causes the panic. Jodie Foster is in the panic room.
Yes.
Well, who's Jared Leto? Is he just a creep like in real life?
I think Jared Leto installed the panic room. That was like the first 30 minutes.
I thought he's the villain.
He was morbing in the panic room. That's the important point.
Don't spoil Panic Room. I haven't seen it.
He was jonklering and Morbius in the panic room.
He was
They're like, I'd rather deal with this Forrest Whitaker guy outside. This guy's putting condoms in our
he's putting dead rats
our freeze dried fucking bananas.
Speaking of Forrest Whitaker, I this is like tangentially related, but I'm willing to talk about it if you guys want. We can talk as long as you want about this. I started watching Andor for the first time.
And what do you think?
It's my first Star Wars thing in like 4 years, I believe. And I haven't finished the entire show yet. I'm on episode I have like 2 episodes left. That's how many episodes
he's finished the prison arc.
Yeah, but I just finished the prison arc. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
I need to watch it still.
Okay.
You still haven't watched it? It's great.
No.
Yeah, I loved Andor.
Andor's like fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It got me hyped up. That was the last time I've been hyped for a Star Wars
I remember
thing.
Seeing in the Discord that you didn't like it, Tim. You're not a fan.
I didn't.
He wasn't enjoying it until he got to like the third arc.
Well, okay. The first like 7 episodes of the series was just kind of mid. It was just, I don't know. It was just standard Star Wars shit. And I was just like, I don't really get what people love about this. Like, it's fine. It's okay. Because I remember
better than any Star Wars show right now.
Because people were really, really hyping up the heist arc for me. And I watched it and I was just kind of, okay, cool, whatever. I think the only thing I distinctly remember about the heist arc.
Don't
and
spoil
I'm trying,
anything
yeah,
too
I know,
much.
I know. I'm going to keep this as vague as possible. But and I was telling my friends about this as well. I literally screamed, "Cousin, no!" And okay. That was the only thing I distinctly remember from the heist arc. But everything else was just fine, okay, decent. But then when we get to the prison arc, I was just like, "Oh, okay, I'm starting to get this
now."
It was a real. I apologize. I wasn't familiar with your game moment. Where I was.
What's
just
that clip of Danny DeVito where he's like, oh my God.
I get it.
Yeah.
And yeah, that prison arc was awesome. But I was still so annoyed because I was just, man, it took us 7 to 8 episodes for something to finally interesting to happen. I was so upset by that.
That's not true at all.
I don't
though.
Think, yeah,
that
I think
not
that's
true,
fucking crazy.
Dude. It's really good
the
for
first
the whole
three time. Didn't really hook me.
The first
it
episode,
wasn't until
yeah.
the heist arc where I was intrigued and interested. And then I was fucking hyped doing that whole prison arc. Kino is one of the coolest characters in Star Wars, in my opinion.
Which just who is he?
That's Andy Serkis.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, dude, I watched this like a year ago, so it's all like Andy Serkis was the guy who did like the prison revolution.
That speech
yeah.
was awesome.
Yeah,
I really liked that
great.
Speech he gave. One
He's
way
just got such
out.
A cool voice.
One way out. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking like. And the Harry Potter franchise needs its own Andor. You know what I mean? Like it need instead of doing this fucking
Explain
reboot
yourself.
Shit.
In what way?
Like it needs.
I'm excited
it,
for the reboot.
I am too. I am excited for it. And
you're both
you know,
canceled
in my own millennial ass way. But I'm just saying, like Andor was the first Star Wars project that felt like it was explicitly adult. It was mature. It was layered and interesting and detailed and. Conflicting at times. Harry Potter needs that because the entire fan base of Harry Potter is older millennials, like people in their late 20s and to 40. So people
they tried
you know,
to do that with
Harry
the
Potter
crimes
already.
Of Grindelwald
did,
but the problem with
terrible.
The problem with Fantastic Beasts and stuff is like they don't need to tie it into existing characters. They just they
yeah,
the
they
whole world is so interesting.
Yeah,
like, we don't need exactly fucking Dumbledore. We don't need all this other shit. Like just have magic.
I don't
want
to see Johnny Depp with frosted tips.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like just expand the universe and make it more adult. Like make
didn't
it
they
feel
already,
like
I will.
Didn't
really
they
happening.
Already do that just though? Because like but from Prisoner of Azkaban onward the series started to become more tonally and like in terms of lighting.
I think he's
wise,
just saying to
dark.
Have additional content.
Yeah,
no,
like,
okay. exclusively
yeah.
new stuff.
Series.
Okay, I guess.
But I will say, just so while it's Christmas, because I'll be remiss if I don't bring it up. I watched Red One, and when I walked out,
Christ.
I was like, I couldn't stop thinking to myself that this movie is just going to have a very long shelf life, and it has multiple verticals.
Shut the fuck up! I was just about to bring that up. Did you guys hear about this?
Yeah, I sent it to you in the group chat, remember?
Oh, that's right. That's right. You did send that to us.
Yeah.
Tim, fucking
The Rock is such a fucking dumb bitch, dude.
Yeah, The Rock really wants us to sing along when an actor slash animated character just starts singing along, because that will piss the fuck off out of everyone else in the theater.
I can guarantee you he's not going to mention this movie ever again. That was probably his last contract required,
like,
mention of
$1 million extra dollars. Thank you.
It's just gonna go film Moana.
It sounds like he put his promo tweet into one of those language AI language formalizers and just put like the corporate newspeak up to 10.
Saying multiple verticals multiple about verticals. Your fucking movie is absolutely insane. That's what psychopath does that behavior.
I mean, yeah, do you guys know what it means?
I don't know.
Oh my god, dude. So speaking of psychopath behavior, do you see how everybody wants to fuck this guy who killed that fucking CEO?
Okay, politics talk, everybody. If you're not a fan, get out now.
Great. Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't getting political. I was just saying it's weird everybody wants to fuck this guy.
No, I'm just saying. Someone will say it. So
not
I'm just
really.
Giving
that
audience
just kind of tends to happen every now and then when a hot, attractive killer is put on court. You know, because remember, Ted Bundy also had that moment where so many women showed up to his trial and they were like, please,
but now
Ted Bundy, marry me.
I think it's
whatever.
A little different.
Yeah,
this is a lot different.
No, this is a lot different, obviously, but I'm just saying, like, tangentially, like on a surface level, whenever a hot killer shows up on the big stage, things like that tend to happen. Now,
I mean,
the difference,
chicks wanted to fuck Charles Manson, and that guy's fucking ugly as shit.
I mean, some did. Like his cultists did. I don't know if
that was like a whole thing, bro. That was like a whole like early TikTok. People were talking about how fucking hot he is and shit.
Well, that's not surprising.
That's true,
I guess,
but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I mean, everything happens on TikTok and everything doesn't. I don't understand. Every opinion exists on TikTok. Yeah, so
yeah, it's true.
So, with
this guy, he's, you know, anytime a handsome dude is on everyone's screen, regardless of why, like, there are going to be a lot of people who say they want to fuck him. But also, I mean, a lot of people see him as like a folk hero of sorts.
He's truly standing up against the power. So. Yeah, he's.
Y'all think he did it?
Do I think he killed someone? I don't know. I think it's pretty clear to me.
I do think the United Healthcare CEO definitely did kill people.
I made the mistake of logging onto Twitter, and it seems like a lot of people think he didn't do it. So
that's funny.
The eyebrows don't match up, guys. The eyebrows don't match up.
I will say,
yeah, I think the internet sleuths.
This is the only time I'm going to be political about this. I think it's really, really amusing when so many out of touch people are just like, I can't believe people are lionizing this killer. Why are you people lionizing him? Why are people looking up to him so badly? Like, you know, you're in the wrong when both aisles of the political spectrum collectively agree that you're dumb, that you're not in the right in this. You know, because like,
yeah, that happened to Ben Shapiro. He got ratioed pretty
hard.
All of his comments were like, dude, this isn't a right versus left. This isn't up versus down.
Yeah, like, because like, regardless of how you feel about murder, I guess it's emblematic of a greater issue of just how fucked and how soulless and how corporatized the healthcare industry, or just pretty much any industry within America, has become. Like, it doesn't matter where you land on the political spectrum. The health insurance in general is a phenomenon that affects fucking everyone, and it hurts everyone except the people in the 1%, the wealthy elite. You know, and to see these out of touch assholes just spout around saying, I don't get it. Why? How could someone possibly like this guy? I don't understand. As they say, while they sit in their corporate office begging the New York governor to please give them a phone line to protect them when another potential killer might go after them. Like, read the fucking room already.
$10 million a year paycheck.
Yeah, like, read the fucking room already, dude. Like, come the fuck on.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. That's all I'll say. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not ready to get stuckmanized, boys.
Yeah, me too.
You want to do that?
No, if you had one more point, that's fine. But I need to drink some water.
Yeah,
I need to get wet in my mouth.
Yeah, I think we can close it out early. I mean, wait, before we do though, we got Stuckmanized. We already brought him up, so we're good. But
we said Barnyard.
Yeah, we said Barnyard.
Check.
Let's all share one of our favorite Christmas memories. You know, before okay. we go.
Go first, Colton Nick. You brought this up.
What?
Right, you go first.
Go first.
Okay. Well, a couple 2 weeks ago, me and my girlfriend were walking to CVS, and we didn't realize that right in front of the CVS, they had set up a Christmas tree stand to buy Christmas trees. So we're like, oh, we need one of those. We'll just buy it. It was like just luck that we just happened to walk in front of a Christmas tree stand. We bought the Christmas tree, put the lights on, and then we went to a Christmas light show in the Botanic Garden in Brooklyn. And it was a beautiful night. It was so Christmassy. Awesome.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. I just, for me, like being genuine, I do really enjoy when I was a kid, and I 100% believed that Santa Claus was a thing, because I grew up in California, and the house I mainly grew up in, it was a two-story, and my bedroom was had access to the back window that led out onto a balcony, or not a balcony, it was just like the roof above this for the first floor. And I would, like, on Christmas Eve, because it was not cold at all in California, you could just crawl out the window, and I would sit out there, and I would be like, maybe I'll see a sleigh one day. And I kind of love how, like, cute and naive that was. I don't know. I think there's just something really sweet about that.
Yeah.
I don't think I have a specific memory off the top of my head. But, like, I do miss, like, when I was younger, and I'd, like, have my siblings and shit, and we'd kind of, like, do the whole, like, stay up late, watch movies, wait for...
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It was like whenever I feel like definitely when you're a kid, it's a lot more magical.
Yeah.
Well, you can't let the magic die or fucking crunkle it. What are you calling him?
Crunkus?
Crunku?
Crunkle will come for you.
I don't even know why I'm calling him Crunkus. I just think it's funny to call him Crunkus. Yeah.
All right, what about your memory, Tim?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same with VHS, Nick. I don't really have a specific Christmas memory in mind. I think just the whole vibe I had where when I was a kid, I got super excited for Christmas. I, you know, would wake up at 7:30 a.m., 8 a.m. to wake my parents up to open presents under the Christmas tree. I remember when I still had a soul and still could feel happiness when I could still do things like that. Nowadays, I just can't be bothered to wake up that early unless it's for work or something. But, you know, those childhood memories I had of the younger years of mine during Christmas is very, still burns bright in my heart. What little I have.
I still get excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still get excited on Christmas because my wife and I buy each other gifts and we don't have kids. Fuck all that noise. I like having, you know, a paycheck. but dude, she gets so excited. We wake up at 3 every morning on Christmas. And just open our gifts at 3 in the morning, and then we go back to sleep.
That's awesome.
That's really wholesome.
Wait, so right, I know Nick said he wants to leave, but I just have one.
No, I'm not in a rush.
Just one hot take before we go. All
right.
It's a hot take about Santa that's been bubbling on my mind for about 25 years now. So I think the concept of telling kids that Santa is real is actually extremely wrong and detrimental to their development. Because think about it this way. So when a kid is like, I don't know, when do parents tell their kids that Santa's real? Like 3 or 4?
Like 3 or older since than they're born. And then yeah. What, like 8 or 9 is
so,
when they
so
stop?
You tell them that. And as soon as they think that a man can fly reindeer and get to every house in the entire world in one night, by extension, they believe that magic is real. You know, they really think that there's a magical force out there that can grant wishes and read minds and fucking teleport, basically. And then when you're 8 years old, it's all fucking just like ripped away from you. And it's honestly like when that happened to me, I was fucked up for years. I'm not even kidding. Like it was really difficult to accept that because I thought that maybe if Santa was magic, maybe I could be too. And once you learn that you can't be, and that, you know, things like Harry Potter are bullshit, like, I don't know. It was a transitional period for me. I was like, this is fucked up. You guys know what I'm talking about at all?
I understand what you're saying.
I guess.
I agree and disagree. Like, I think it's technically fucked up, but I also think having that like belief in the weird shit and like goofy shit and when I was a kid kind of like led me to be the person I am. You know what I mean? Like, I think having those kind of like thoughts where like, I watched Star Wars, maybe I can fucking move something with my brain or something when you're a kid. Like, I think that stuff's like just kind of like, I don't think it's necessarily bad.
Yeah, no, like while you're in it, it's great. But then when it gets ripped off, it's like salt on the wound. You know,
I think it's less ripping the Band-Aid off and more just growing up. Like that's just.
I think because for me it didn't really feel like the rug got pulled out from under me. It was the older I got, the more and more I started to think about it and being like, well, I mean, it doesn't really make that much sense. And then by the time I was like, Mom, Dad, is Santa actually real? And they told me no. I was like, yeah, I kind of knew. I just wanted to confirm. So I never felt like I had the rug pulled out. I just kind of like grew out of it.
You don't have to show off. You know, like, what the fuck, man? You're like, I was smart enough to know.
Well, you also have
time. Like, well,
who thought Santa was real.
Well, when you're a kid too, you also have other kids at school telling. You have those kids at school that like they're like telling you like my parents told me he's not real. So
that's
bullshit.
Kids.
That's bullshit, dude.
Yeah, but you guys are saying that's just the way the world is. But it's like. Why does it have to be that way where we lie to kids about magic being real?
I agree with you, but like think about it in this terms. Like you have a kid, right? Or if you have a kid, right, do you not want to give them that experience?
Because then what if
honestly no, I don't.
What if they become the kid that just rips that away from other kids?
It's the same thing as like kids having imaginary friends or whatever. You know, when kids have shit like that, I don't know, what's the harm in giving them that sense of imagination? Eventually they're gonna grow out of it anyway, so what's the harm in that? Just give them a little wiggle room to be a kid, and then once they're ready to grow up, they'll grow up, you know?
It also adds like a bunch of tradition too, like the like leaving the cookies out and like all the like little fun things for Christmas that aren't necessarily just Santa. It's like the whole setup of Christmas, like it gives them a lot more to look forward to.
It's just exciting. Yeah.
Well, personally, I've already confirmed this with my girlfriend. If we have kids, we have a don't ask, don't tell policy about Santa with our kids. So they're not allowed to ask. We're not allowed to tell. They learn about it from school. It's whatever.
Yeah. So if I mean, they learn
I don't think there's
school,
a right
like,
or wrong.
Hey, there's a guy, Santa. Will you be like, yep?
You just tell them Krampus exists instead of Santa and see what sort of effect that will
have. There is no
lab.
Santa, there is only Krampus.
Yeah.
That's even worse, though.
If you're bad, you will be disemboweled and I will get thrown into a hell pit, little boy.
At least with Santa, it's like a kind magic. It's a special magic that brings you gifts and has flying reindeer. Krampus is a fucking pocket universe monster.
Yeah, if you are good, nothing will happen to you and nothing will remotely change in your life. But if you are bad, then Krampus will break down your door and kidnap your entire family and throw them down to hell.
And also, you know, while we're on the topic, the Tooth Fairy is one of the most insane, fucking terrifying
that is weird.
Things that I've ever heard about.
Have you seen Darkness Falls?
Clearly
no,
haven't.
No.
It's basically like a horror movie about the Tooth Fairy. It's like if you wake up and see the Tooth Fairy, you're basically cursed forever. And like the only way to stay alive is to like stay in the light. So there's like a guy who like saw the Tooth Fairy as a kid, and then like as an adult he's like still hiding from the Tooth Fairy, and he like buys a lighthouse so he can live in a lighthouse to stay safe from the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah, imagining like a giant sized Tinkerbell that has fangs. Like she has to have like weird fangs, so she's a Tooth Fairy, and she lives in a castle made out of children's teeth. It's a horrifying image that I thought about a lot when I was a kid.
Clearly, you haven't seen Rise of the Guardians, the DreamWorks movie where Santa, the Easter Bunny, the Tooth Fairy, and Sandman team up to
Boogeyman.
Yeah, fight the Boogeyman.
Oh, no. I thought you were gonna say Krampus.
No, that would be awesome. I'll make the squeakquel.
That'd be
where
sick.
I'll make the squeakquel where they fight Krampus.
They fight Krunko McUncle.
Yeah, one more. Right, okay. I know we. Okay, one more question. I swear to God, this is the last thing I wanted to bring this up. Okay, Die Hard, is it a Christmas movie or not? How do you guys feel about this topic?
Yes. Any movie that takes place during Christmas,
shut the fuck up,
dude.
All right, Snake.
Dude, Die Hard has enough references to Christmas. It takes place on Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, I will admit that the Christmas vibes are circumstantial, but they're important enough to the plot. The only reason why they're all in the hotel or the, what is it, an office or something, or this is a workplace, right? They work there?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Well, the only reason they're there.
It was a work party. It was the Christmas party for the.
But he was like a cop. Yeah.
So, what other reason would all the people be there if not for Christmas?
Okay,
Christmas is the catalyst for the entire.
Here's my follow-up question.
Here's a follow-up question. But then, by that logic, are stuff like Lethal Weapon and Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, are those Christmas movies too?
Explain like what the Christmas vibes are in those movies. I've never seen those.
Well, because both of those.
By his argument. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is a Christmas movie, but I don't think Lethal Weapon would be because it takes place over too much time.
Because Shane Black has this thing. I mean, Die Hard isn't written
by
Shane Black.
Iron Man 3 does it too, right?
Yeah, is Iron Man 3 a Christmas movie then, by that logic? Yes. Is Iron Man 3 a Christmas movie? Okay, okay.
Yep, for sure.
I think if you want to call it a Christmas movie, go for it. I'm not going to fight you on anything.
I think if it wins in the court of public opinion, I won't argue it. But I don't personally see it as a Christmas movie.
Yeah, okay. I mean it's a personal thing. I mean, not like on the Die Hard poster, he's not wearing like a fucking Santa hat. That's for sure.
That'd be so sick if he was, though.
They should have. The whole movie would have been. I mean, the movie is already great, but it should have. It could have been even better if the entire time
we need somebody to just go in and like. Fucking digitally add a Santa just hat a onto PNG his fucking head the entire movie.
Make
just
add the Chill Grinch instead of Severus Snape, it's the Chill Grinch.
Yeah, make a Die Hard special editions in the same vein as the original trilogy special editions or fucking whatever.
God damn it.
Alright, guys. All right. Great episode. Stay chill.
Great episode.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Everybody.
Happy Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Ramadan. Happy Hanukkah. Well, thank you guys for watching our holiday spooktacular episode. If you enjoyed this, please leave us a rating on all of your podcast listening to platforms or leave us a like on YouTube. Make sure you watch our next two episodes for our watch list episode, which will be, Enter the Void and Brazil. And that'll be about it. See you guys later.
Merry Kronkus.
Happy holiday.
Bye-bye.